Yes.
To seem to be a very great distinction. Of course, they may have noticed the same distinction between our officers and men. But that was an impression that I had. One was surprised at the colour of a uniform, really. The Belgium had a dark brown uniform at that time, very much darker than ours. Mm. The French had their pale blue overcoats and black puddets, which again was a contrast to our khaki.
Would they be wearing the steel helmet at this time, incidentally? Or the kepi, or kipi?
I don't think that steel helmets were being worn when we first arrived in France. Mm-hmm. They were issued shortly after.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Very shortly after.
You would.
But some of the French, certainly did have their own particular type of steel helmet.
Mm-hmm.
They were a different shape to ours.
You would still be wearing your spurs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We wore spurs for some time.
Oh, you still wore spurs?
Oh, well, yes.
I notice here from the book that you get training in trench warfare at Bellule. But within a few days' time, you move into what are termed, this is on the 3rd of October, you move into O and M trenches at Bois Carré, moving by way of Mount Kemmel and Dickey Bush. This is the first time you go into the trenches.
As far as I can recall, we were in Bayeux, and from Bayeux, we marched out one night to a reserve position nearer to the front. We didn't take over any trenches at that time, but certain selected officers and NCOs and men went into the trenches with another unit, and there we received instruction on how to live in the trench. We took the regular duties in the trench.
Were you in that group, by the way?
Yes, I was. And being mounted riflemen, and about that time, we were formed into a mounted division under General Seely, about that time. But the 1st Canadian Cavalry Brigade, which, if I remember rightly, consisted of the Strathconas, the RCDs, the Fort Garry Horse, and the some King Edward's Horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were four units in the brigade, and I'm not quite certain about the Fort Garry Horse, whether they came later.
I could check it from Nicholson's book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there were Strathconas, RCDs, and King Edward's Horse. And I think that I was in a party which went in with King Edward's Horse. I won't be positive about that.
Well, now, the cavalry brigade, despite the fact that it was a cavalry brigade, was in the trenches.
Oh, yes, very definitely. Dismounted with no horses. At that time.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sure they didn't have horses in the trenches. Whether they had them back or not, I'm not sure.
Mm.
but they were fighting dismounted, and we received our initiation in trench warfare with one of those other units. It was either the RCDs or I think it was King Edward's Horse.
What was your own personal first impressions of the trenches? As you can remember.
Yes, this is on the tour. Well, of course, one's first impression was that of a thrill. I mean, say you were there in the front line, nobody between you and the enemy, and you were very much alert. Bullets whined over your head, shells occasionally went back and forth. It was a quiet front. It was one's first sort of experience of night work, where you were up and on the alert all night long, where you stood to, and at the early dawn of September morn, with a certain amount of mist about, it was eerie. during a night, there had been a certain number of very lights going up. There was a sort of strangeness to it all, which same time keyed one up, and I was excited. It was all strange, trying to sleep in a dugout and that sort of thing. Young, I didn't mind the loss of sleep very much. You soon got adjusted to it. It was all a new experience. I was anxious to hear the yarns of people who'd been in the trenches a few more times than I had.
What did you pick up from some of the old-timers with whom you...
I think the main thing which we learned was the routine of the trenches. The stand to at dawn and in evening. The need for most of the people, most of the men in the front line trench, to be on the job all the time, that all night. I mean, they had to be alert all night. One or two men in each bay would be watching as sentries. The general routine, I think, was one man watching, one man sitting on the on the parapet, and one man either working or the other men of the section either working or perhaps dozing, lying on the parapet. But you were not supposed to sleep during a night time. Work had to be done in the way of draining the trenches, repairing bath mats, filling sandbags, repairing where the parapet or parador had been hit by a shell, rebuilding it.
Being on the alert, was this in case of raids or an attack? I'm thinking...
We're talking about the first time we went in. We went into a quiet sector. I'm sure that there had been no build-up of artillery fire or concentration of troops which would have justified higher formations to expect an attack. But there was always a possibility of a raid. If not an organized, not a large raid, but there was a certain amount of patrolling out in no man's land. The scouts of the unit
mm-hmm.
would be patrolling in no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think that the Germans did nearly as much patrolling as we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was correct.
Mm-hmm.
But
there
was also the thought that there might be deserters coming over.
Oh, yeah.
Not that there were many,
mm-hmm.
but there was the prospect of that. And then we were on the lookout for our own patrols
mm-hmm.
when they went out. But it was generally being on the alert.
Mm-hmm.
I should think that at that time we had more men in the front line trench
mm-hmm.
and more men kept on sentry mm-hmm. duty than was necessary.
Yeah,
experience later
yes.
Thinned out the front line.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I think we're only...
More men in the front line trench
mm-hmm.
and more men kept on sentry mm-hmm. duty than was necessary.
Yeah, this
experience later
yes.
Thinned out the front line.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I think we're only...